Morning. If you take your Bibles, you can open them up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We left off with verse 16. I also, for those of you that are here, I included the verses again in your bulletin that I will be using today. So starting in 2 Thessalonians, verse 3, 16, it says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Now, we've gone through 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and 2nd Thessalonians, and in this letter, Paul closes out the letter with an intercessory prayer or a request concerning the believers. He prays that they may experience the peace that only Christ can give them and to experience that peace at all times in every circumstance. Now, when we think of this, it's not a peace void of conflict, but a peace that can be experienced even in the midst of conflict. These believers were suffering persecution from without. They were struggling with some doctrinal error within, error which was causing some of them to actually refuse to hold down a job, and rather than working, they were taking advantage of people's generosity, and of course, with all their idle time, they were going around sticking their nose in business that didn't belong to them, so they were causing conflict within the body of believers. And of course, then this created even more conflict within the body, because those who were actually holding down jobs and doing what they were supposed to do were put in a position where they had to warn these believers and then possibly take disciplinary action against them. So despite being persecuted, doctrinally confused, and socially troubled, these believers could still experience peace. Now, Paul's prayer encouraged the believers to take their eyes off themselves and off their circumstances and to look to Christ, who is, as Paul says, the Lord of peace. Now, Christ is the one who is over all. He's in complete control of every circumstance that might occur in your life, my life, anyone's life. And the Lord with you reminds all that the Lord was still even with those who were, they weren't working, they weren't holding down a job, but yet Christ was still with them. The Lord be with you all. So even if we are out of line with the traditions that we are to hold, we still know that we can have that peace of Christ. And before we continue, let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this day that you've given to us, and Father, we do thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to take on flesh and to live a perfect life and to die to pay the penalty for our sins, to be a substitute for us, that we might, when we place our faith in him, have eternal life. And Father, we just thank you for the fact that you've given us your word so that we can grow to know you and to grow to learn how to worship you and serve you as we should. And Father, when we think of peace, just help us to be able to understand what peace really is. And it's something that the world cannot offer us. It's only something that we can have in Christ. So be with me this morning as I preach. Help me to do so in a way that is understandable. I just ask that the Holy Spirit would use his word this morning to be able to enlighten our hearts and our minds and help us to draw closer to you, and I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, he says, now the Lord, okay? The Lord, as we mentioned last week, is the one, he's supreme in authority, the one who is in absolute control, the one who has a right to dictate to others how they are to live. And in this verse, the Lord is Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. And through him, all things were created. 1 John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And of course, John 1:10 says he was in the world. Now we're talking about Jesus, this man, but there was something special about this man. He wasn't only a man, but he was actually the one who created all things. So 1 John 1:10 says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So even the nation of Israel, as we know, failed to recognize that God was walking among them. When Jesus spoke, he spoke the very words of God, for he was the Son of God incarnate. When they rejected him, they rejected God. And it says that Jesus is the Lord of peace. Now, peace means prosperity. It means one, quietness, harmony. Said it one again. And this is something that we don't experience completely today. He says, gives you peace always. So he's not only the Lord of peace, but he gives you peace always. It's an ever-present peace, the ever-present peace that can only be experienced by those who belong to Christ. And by all means, so in every way, and in every circumstances, he is the Lord of peace. He can give us peace, and that peace can come to us no matter what our circumstances in life are. So it is a peace which comes through being reconciled in one's relationship with God. It's an inner peace that you can have despite the circumstances one faces in the world. So this is what the Thessalonian believers have, this peace, and can experience in greater degree as they seek to stand fast, Paul says, and hold to the traditions that they have adopted, by whether by word or by epistle. Now, we are not born with this peace. We are born searching for it. We are born searching for it because we are born separated from God, separated from the truth of our existence. And what is it that we're searching for? What does every human being search for? Every human being wants to know that they have some value, some meaning, some purpose, some significance for their existence. We want to know the answers of life. You know, why are people born only to die? Is this all there is to life? Is there life after death? Does anything I do in this life have any lasting value? Is it of any significance whatsoever? Does it even matter? See, unfortunately, the peace we seek to obtain cannot be found in or through the things of this world. The whole world, we know, is under the sway of sin. Under the sway of sin, and it operates on a system of lies. So the world we know is at enmity with God. So everything that the world sets up is an enemy to God. The peace we are looking for can only be found and given to us by Christ and in Christ. Peace cannot come by seeking to fulfill the lust of the flesh, which many people do. Those who belong to the world, those who reject Christ, seek in vain to find peace. They search for it all the time, but it always eludes their grasp. Why? Because it's lies. They seek it in the wrong place. Now, there's a difference between the peace God gives to us and the peace the world offers. The world is not at peace with God. Okay? It is spiritually separated from God. The world has not known peace since man's fall in the garden. See, on the sixth day when God completed his work, or the work of creation, the world was at peace. It was at perfect peace. There was harmony in every aspect of life on the earth. Man was at peace with God. The man and the woman were at peace with one another. Man was at peace with all the creatures that he had been given authority over. And he was at peace with the natural environment that surrounded him. And being at peace with God, the man and the woman had an inner peace. They were at peace within themselves. They did not have an identity crisis. They didn't have to be born and start looking for, who am I? Where did I come from? See, they knew who they were. They knew who created them, and they knew the purpose for their existence. But when man rebelled against God, that peace and that harmony was broken. It was shattered in every area. It was shattered within, and it was shattered without. And of course, we see this from the Genesis account. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So where does everything come from? God, according to Genesis 1:1. See, part of heaven here, in the beginning, God created the heaven. Part of the heaven includes the spiritual realm that we cannot see. It's all around us. The spiritual realm is where the angels reside, both good and fallen angels today. Angels were created as eternal beings. And of course, God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it in a literal 6 days. Okay? And of course, we all know a day is a 24-hour period. So before the beginning, only God existed. Heaven here implies the angels were created because the spiritual realm, the angels were created and witnessed the earth as it was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. See, before God said, let there be light on the first day, the angels were there to witness it. And this would, of course, include Lucifer. But we also see the culmination or the pinnacle of God's creation came on the sixth day with the creation of man. Genesis 2:7 says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So we see the tenderness of God as he molds and shapes the man's body from the dust of the ground. But as we can see, there's the body, but it has no life in it. It has no life in it until God breathes in to this body. So man, of all living creatures created from the dust of the ground, was the only creature on the earth created for eternity. He is the only creature God intimately formed and breathed the breath of life into. All other living creatures on the earth, though they have breath and life, are not created in God's image or likeness, and they cease to exist upon death. See, man was created an eternal being. Man, when he dies physically, does not cease to exist. He is merely separated from his body. See, and once separated from a body, a person we know according to scriptures will go to one of two places. Those who have by faith trusted in Christ for salvation will go directly to heaven. They will experience eternal life with God forever. Those who reject God's offer of salvation through his son go directly to a place called hell. It's a place of torment, a place of suffering. That is their death. They will be completely separated from God for eternity. Genesis 1:26 said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we see here that the man and woman both were created in God's image and God's likeness, and both the man and the woman were given dominion over the earth. So all things we see on the earth were placed under their feet. See, they were to rule over the earth as they increased and multiplied in a way that brought honor and glory to their Creator. This blessing, think about it, this blessing includes every human being. It includes you. It includes me. We were all created to be rulers over the earth. See, we have all been created to subdue and have dominion over it. See, God created us as equals. You're equal with me. I'm equal with you. No one is above. No human being is above another human being. No human being is below another human being. See, that's the lie of the world, is to think that somehow we can find our significance and importance in being exalted above others. But see, we've lost that knowledge. That are we important? All of us are. Why are we important? It's because we are. That's the very reason, because God created us in his image. That makes us important, makes us valuable. So nowhere in scriptures are we told also that God intimately formed the angels or created them to rule. They each came into being when God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw everything that he hath made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In Genesis 2:1 it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now, when you look at 2:1, the all, the hosts of them, would include the angels, the spiritual realm. They did not exist, angels, before the first day. There is no gap theory. There is no time where there was life before the beginning, the first day. Scriptures reveal that one of the angels, whose name was Lucifer, rebelled against God. This rebellion would have had to occur after the seventh day. It does not seem probable that God could have rested on the seventh day or called everything very good on the sixth day if there was a war going on in the spiritual realm. See, Satan was one of God's creation. If Satan had fallen on or before the seventh day, God would have never been able to look at all that he created and called it very good. We know from scriptures peace was broken in the heavenly realm by Satan and eventually a third of the angels. See, Satan and the angels who followed him are enemies of God. Okay. Ezekiel 28:14 says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. This is speaking of Lucifer, Lucifer, who we now know is Satan. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. So what we see here is sin was conceived in Lucifer. He was created perfect in every way. There was no outside influence which caused him to sin. Iniquity, sin, originated from within Satan himself. Isaiah 14:12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now, Satan's sin was pride. See, he desired to be worshipped like God. He desired to exalt himself above the throne of God. Now, fallen angels are personal beings who chose to rebel and attempted to dethrone God. They are unredeemable. There will never be peace between Satan, the fallen angels, and God. One day, Satan and the other fallen angels will be judged, and they will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. But until that day comes, this war against God will continue. So we are living in a time where Satan is still warring against God in the heavens, trying to usurp his authority. Now, when Satan's attempt to dethrone God in the spiritual realm failed, he set his sights on the earth or the material realm. Now, in order to gain control over the earth, he had to convince Adam and Eve, whom God had already given authority over the earth, to rebel against God. See, as powerful as Satan was, he had no authority over the man or the woman or the earth. See, Adam and Eve, having been given dominion over the earth by God, had the authority to banish the serpent from the garden. Just as soon as he entered that garden, either one of them could have banished it. Why? Because they had the authority. They had been given the authority by God to do so. So had either done so, the man or the woman, Satan would have had to flee. But we know from Genesis 3:1-6 that Adam and Eve chose to listen to Satan's lies and join in the rebellion. We're not going to read that, but read Genesis 3:1-6. Everybody's familiar with it. Now, this is the problem. Since the moment Adam sinned to the present day, Satan has become the god of this world. He does everything that he can do to deceive man, everything that he can do to keep him from being redeemed. He does everything he can do to keep man blinded to the gospel message of salvation. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Ephesians 2:2 says, "Wherein in the time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." See, the world system is set up and controlled by Satan, whose only goal, believe it or not, is to enslave everyone and to be worshipped by God. See, presently, The world that we live in today is dominated by Satan. It is Satan's kingdom that we are living in presently. And Jesus told Pilate in John 18:36, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." So the kingdom we live in today is not only dominated by Satan, it is also dominated by sinful, fallen man who seek to cast off God. See, men who are blinded to Satan's deceptions. See, they've fallen for this. They've swallowed the lie that they can be like gods, that somehow I can exalt myself above you and enslave you. See, men whose only desire, like Satan, because they are like their father, is to exalt themselves by enslaving the rest of mankind and ruling over the earth. So today there are people all over this world whose only goal is to exalt themselves and make a slave of you. Under the rule of Satan and sinful man, the world can never experience peace. We will never know peace as long as Satan's alive and roaming around. See, the scriptures reveal to us why man, apart from God, can never know peace. And one of the reasons is because of Satan. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father the devil." And this is for anyone who is not saved, who has not received Christ. So you are of the father, your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Satan's only goal is to rule. He wants to enslave everyone. He hates God and he hates mankind. He doesn't care who he has to kill or destroy in order to be able to obtain his goal. His objective is to take everything that God has created and reshape it into his image. And this includes destroying the image of God in mankind. When Satan looks at you, he sees the image of God and he cannot stand it. He needs to destroy that image. Another reason peace will not be experienced is due to the fallen condition of man. See, at the moment of conception, scriptures tell us that every human being is born in sin. We are conceived in sin. We are separated from God, blinded to the truth of God's existence. 2 Timothy 3:1 describes who we are apart from Christ. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And of course, James 4:1, he says, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members?" We can't have peace. Mankind is incapable of ushering in peace in the world because he's corrupted. See, the descriptions given here is a description of every human being who selfishly desires what is best for themselves. This is what all of us are apart from Christ. People who have no qualms about causing others to suffer, even to the point of eliminating them or eliminating those who stand in their way. Now, there is a spiritual battle raging today from that time that Satan tried to overthrow God till today. So there is a spiritual battle raging between God and Satan. And this is a cosmic battle that is over the souls of men. We are caught in between Satan and God in this war. And God, in his mercy, does not want anyone to perish. Okay, he doesn't want anyone to be eternally separated from him. This is why it's so important, especially for us as believers, to know and study God's word. The world is at enmity with God. The whole system is a lie. And we need to have spiritual discernment to know what is truth and what is a lie. Only the Lord can give the world the peace that it longs for. And one day peace will be a reality on this earth when Christ comes back to set up his kingdom. Yet even now in this sinful fallen world, we can, by faith, experience peace. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14, 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Philippians 4, 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." See, this is a peace that can only be ours as we walk in the Spirit. It's already ours. It's our possession. But still, how many times do we, you know, are we anxious? Are we troubled? Fear overwhelms us. How many times are we like down and depressed by circumstances which come into our lives that are way beyond our control? But when we do get this way, when we have fears, when we have anxieties, it only happens when we get fixated on our circumstances or the things of this world and we take our eyes off from Christ. See, the only way we can have this peace is to remain focused on the one who is the Lord of peace, the one where peace comes from. See, walking in the flesh and allowing sin to control our lives will also keep us from experiencing peace. This peace. If we want to live contrary to God's word as believers, we're not going to have peace. You can't have it. All you'll have is anxiety and fear. See, this peace which passes all understanding comes by faith and not by sight. If you want to look at the things around you, you have a lot to be afraid of because it looks like a scary thing. But by faith, we know who's in control of all these scary things, don't we? So this peace comes to us through faith by trusting God and what his word tells us. It comes when we sincerely live to please God. If you're living to please God, this peace can be yours. See, and then Paul closes his letter by personally writing his signature, and only those letters signed by him have any authenticity, okay? So every letter, and the Thessalonian believers should have known this. If they had read his first one, they would have seen that Paul signed it. Every letter that Paul writes, he signs personally. He doesn't write the letter because a lot of times he uses someone, he dictates it. But at the end, he signs it. So the next time the Thessalonian believers receive a letter from someone claiming to be Paul, they can pull out the letter and compare the signatures. 3:18 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." And next week we're going to kind of do a study on grace as far as salvation goes. You know, can we know beyond a shadow of a doubt we're saved? How can we become saved? I mean, what is it that makes us saved? But he's saying here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. See, God pours out his grace upon all those who are in Christ. You are walking in God's grace right now. You will never be an enemy to God. Even when you fail him, he will not punish you. He may discipline you, but he will always love you indefinitely. Okay, you have eternal life. See, believers possess God's unmerited favor. You can't do anything to fall out of that favor. This favor is shown to all, to every believer, even when they fail to live up to the calling that they have received. And as we go through salvation, we're going to try to discern the difference between being saved and being sanctified. And that will be starting hopefully next week, Lord willing. Father, we just thank you for this time we could look into your word. And help us to understand that we can have peace. We can have an inner peace, even if the whole world is falling down around us. But that peace can only come as we focus on you, as we focus on who you are, as we focus on the fact that you are sovereign and in control of all things. When we focus on the fact nothing can happen to us unless you allow it. Nothing, even our death, cannot come until the day that you say so. And Father, as we go through this life, if we're struggling with certain things right now, if there's fear and anxiety, and you know, if we don't have that peace, then help us to refocus on you, to know that, you know, you are in control of all things. Nothing's going to happen to us. And even if we were to die, it's a reward. It's not a punishment. It's the beginning of our eternal existence. We were eternally saved. That existence started when the moment we placed our faith in Christ, but we will experience that after death. So, Father, help us to understand that, you know, whatever it is we're facing, whether it's loss of jobs or health problems or whatever, that you are a God who's in control, and we can have peace on that as we focus on you. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.